Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com. It's just so far been a good weekend, but we just have one last treat this morning because we want you to leave. I know that you've been encouraged through this whole thing. I know that God has spoke to you. He has spoken to you. Isn't it amazing how God can speak to us like we're the only person in the room? He can speak to us right to the situation, right to the heart of the issue that nobody else knows. Sometimes we don't even know. I mean, God is so faithful that way. He loves you so much. So I just want to encourage you with this just as we close out in this last session here. But there was a girl named Mary in the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 45 through 47, it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." See, the thing about Mary is Mary was very normal. She was young, but God saw something in her. And really, I think he definitely sees something in every person individually. There's a gift and a call. But you know what I think God loves and what he looks for most is that person is going to believe me at my word. And he gives us all that opportunity. But when we are that person that says, "God, I believe you and I take you at my word," miraculous things happen. Here's a young lady who the angel of the Lord visited her and said, "You are going to carry the Son of God. You are going to carry Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but that would rock. What? You know? What I think is awesome about this is that in the next verse, chapter 46, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" She did this before she saw or even knew exactly what that meant or what that felt like. You realize that? God told her something, God gave her instruction, and she took it, she believed it, and she rejoiced in the Lord. That's faith. That is faith. When God speaks something to us, and where does he speak things to us? He speaks it through his word. He speaks it through his spirit. He speaks to us. When he speaks to us and we take it at his very word as truth, and we believe on that, listen, there is nothing impossible to those that believe. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. And this is what should be, I mean, you should get excited about serving God. You should get excited about not your situation, but you should get excited about what the victory looks like. Put yourself in that victory before you even get there. That's faith. And that's what Mary did. She put herself in the manifestation of that promise, of that thing that God had spoke to her. She put herself there and began to rejoice in the Lord before she even saw what that really was or what that really meant or before it even really happened. She magnified the Lord. There's a key here, and this is what we're going to do in this last session. I'm going to read just a couple more verses. In the Passion Translation, that verse says, "My soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praise to God. My spirit bursts with joy over my life-giving God." Now, let me tell you, back in that day, she was not married at that point. She knew, I believe, and pondered these things. And she thought, she knew, okay, wait a second. If I am going to be pregnant, I'm going to begin to show. Changes are going to start to happen. I'm not going to be able to hide this. But wait a second, I'm not married yet. And what happened to women in those days? They were stoned. They were stoned. They were put out, excommunicated. They were put out. But amongst that fear that would try to come, she said, I magnify the Lord. Because this is what he spoke to me, and this is what I believe. And I'm going to magnify the Lord. So when God speaks something to you, when he gives you a promise, and listen, maybe some of you need to find out what that promise is. Find it. It's in the word. There's a promise. There's an answer for everything that you face. Find it in that word. You get a hold of it, and then you just begin to magnify the Lord. There is so much power in focusing on the goodness of God. There is so much freedom and liberty that comes. Listen, when you begin to take your eyes off of the problem, I don't care if you're like, God, you are good and tears are running down your face. God, you are good. God, I will serve you. God, this is what your word says. God, I will not let go. I will hold on. I will hold the line. I will stand. I will fight. I will not let go of the promise. I don't care if it feels like everything is falling around you, you remain steady in that word and you continue to draw and draw closer to him and you don't retreat from him and your relationship with him, you will get a victory. It will be complete. It will be full. It may not look like the path you would have taken. That's why, remember, he leads us into victory. Victory is in his leading. Stay close to him. Stay with him. Be his. Be closer than you ever have before. And here's the deal about this. This is so exciting. You can like wake up every morning and hunger for him even more and draw from him even more. And it'll be new and fresh. And it'll be stuff you've never experienced before because God is that deep. You cannot reach. You cannot measure the depths of God. He's that big. I think the biggest thing that the body of Christ needs to get is a fight in them and a passion. And it does take sacrifice. It does take laying things down. Listen, things are things. Our schedules are our schedules. When you let God be a part of your life in such a way that he leads you and he guides you in everything that you do and everything that you say, you will be so satisfied in him. So she, Mary, rejoiced. She was ecstatic. She was overflowing with praise to God. Her spirit burst joy over her life-giving God. She knew who her God was. That's a huge theme through this weekend. Know who you are. How do you know somebody that you don't spend time with? He knows everything about us. It's not a question of God's going to get to know us, but he wants it to be two-sided. How do you know somebody you don't spend time with? It's impossible to know them and to know their character and to know who they really are, to know what they like and what they don't like. God wants to know you. I mean, he knows you, but he wants it to be this mutual. He wants you to know him. Not just, to know is so much deeper than just, yeah, that's God. Yep, that's his word. No, where you're walking and you're having communion with him, and it's just this. You don't go anywhere without God. He's just over, always there. He is always there, but you like recognize that he's always there. You recognize him. You acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your path. Sounds like a victorious path to me. Sounds like it's a path full of victory to me. God is good. Just a couple more verses. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. How can she rejoice in time to come? Because strength and honor are her clothing. Because she knows who her God is. Because she's a woman. And later on, at the end of the Proverbs, it says, a woman who fears the Lord. Now, we're not talking about the fear that, we're talking about awe and admiration. I know your God, and I am yours, and you're in charge. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised far above rubies, far, basically any, that you think of the most precious thing that is natural. Far above that, when you honor God and fear God, you can have confidence in that place every time. That's where confidence comes from. In Proverbs 31:25, it says bold, in the Passion Translation, it says, bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Sounds like a woman that knows how to be full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit, and say, ha, ha, ha. Sometimes you just need to ha, 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 right? The word says that the Lord, he laughs at his enemies. If he can laugh, we can laugh. It's not a scary thing to laugh at the enemy. It's not like, well, if I laugh, he'll attack even more. It'll be harder. No. When you laugh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is a strong person who can laugh at the enemy and rejoice when you don't feel like it, right? How many have had to rejoice when they don't feel like it? I sure have. And I'll tell you what, when you're facing a situation, you're going to walk through it no matter what, right? Right? Can you just say, no, I'm not going to walk through that right now. I don't want to, right? You're going to walk through things. The word says that we will have trials. We will have tribulation. We will have things that we have to face because we live on this planet. But it says, be of good sadness. Hey, there's some people that can be really good at sadness. No, it says, be of good cheer. For I have overcome. He has overcome those things. He's already beat them. So what that tells me is that when you allow cheer and rejoicing and just, God, you're good, and just focusing on the goodness of God to come in, even when you, remember, you don't feel like it. Tears are running down your face. When you decide to do that, you are saying, God, I choose to believe your word and your promise over what I see with my natural eyes, because what you have established and what you have supplied for me is bigger than that little bitty guy down there. Right? That's faith. And that's what Mary did. She probably thought it was pretty funny at first. You know, like, no. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, not like, we're not talking about the joy of the Lord here. We're talking like, no, no. Right? She probably had to think and ponder. I think the word says she's pondering these things. And in and amongst that pondering, she decided, nope, God, you said it. I'm going to believe it. She knew who her God was. She knew. She knew. In Psalms 31:25, it says, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. Another translation says, so cheer up. Take courage, all you who love him. Wait for him to break through for you, all you who trust in him. I mean, what that's saying is here's this thing in front of you, and oh, yeah, God, you're coming through. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I laugh at this situation. And you're just waiting. You're waiting for the manifestation of that thing that you're believing for to come through. And it's going to come if you just remain standing in focus. See, God does not twist our arm to go and side along with his word. He's not a taskmaster. He's a father. And he leads and he guides. And he says, this is what I supplied for you. This is what I gave you. This is what I've purchased for you. This is what I have for you that's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what I have for you. Not only this, but I'm going to be in you and around you and upon you and walk with you. Come on, just say yes. Just give me the word. See, our words release the victory into our situation. And I'm not talking about your words for today, just today, but tomorrow my words are going to change. No, women who fight and have a fight in them and who are brave and courageous, they stand upon that word and they do not let go until they see it come to pass in their life. And how many know that takes some fight? Because you don't feel like it. We go back to our feelings way too much. God is not a feelings God. You can feel him, yes. But he was never led by his feelings. So we are not designed to be led by ours. God is faithful. So cheer up and take courage. Oh, that's so good. Cheer up. Cheer up. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when you go to the Lord, be real and be honest. He does not mind if you go to him crying. But really go and say, God, here's my situation. And then you, God, but I thank you that you're good. And you were faithful here in my life, 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 and I woke up and could breathe air today. You're faithful here in my life. We all have an area where God's been faithful. Even if you have to just look at the fact that you're breathing air today, that we live in a country where we can come together like this. In freedom, that we have a word that they've been trying to get rid of for thousands of years, and they just can't. It cannot be taken away. Nobody can take it away. Because even if they could get rid of that on paper, there are those that have hidden it in their heart. There are those that are carrying it and meditating on it, and then releasing it and declaring it with their words, and it's changing atmospheres, and it's changing situations. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Don't be pulled in different directions. This is Philippians 4:6 in the Passion. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. It says, don't be pulled in different directions. There's a lot of pulling that goes on. Just because there's a pull to something does not mean that's the direction you're supposed to go. We're led by God, and that's where the victory is. Okay? It says, don't be worried. You're going to have to push that fear out. Remember last night I shared with you how I would lay in bed and that fear would just grip me. Do you know how I pushed that out? Thank you, Lord. This is what your word says. I give you glory and honor. You are much bigger than this. You have already purchased my healing for me. That's how you do that. You resist that worry. You declare to that worry where it's going to go. You don't allow worry to declare your direction and where you're going to go. You tell it where you're going. And then it says, be saturated in prayer throughout each day. That does not mean go sit in your closet every day, all day long. But I'll be driving in my car, and I'll just be, you know, thinking, or the worship music's playing, or my kids are there. God is talking. I'm communing with him. And once in a while, yeah, thank you, God. Oh, Lord, I love you. Man, the mountains look beautiful today. Thank you. Find something to declare his goodness and his faithfulness. Find something. even if you don't see it in your own natural life at that moment, look at the mountains. Look at his creation. He's all around. He's good. Find something. Offer your faith-filled requests to the Lord. Guys, the word says that we can come to his throne boldly. Now, what I mean by faith-filled, don't go to God and think, God, I think you might hear me today. If you're not too busy. Oh, no, no, he can hear you like you're the only person on the planet at that moment. He hears you. He is saying, come to me. Tell me. Let me know what you want. Tell me. But see, I don't know if sometimes we think things are maybe, well, I don't want to bother God with that, or that's too small, or that's too big. I don't know if we think that or what, but sometimes we just don't let God be a part of our situation, or, you know, we just, oh, no, I got this. Or we just kind of, I think we get into the routine and habit of just living life when God wants to be walking with us and moving with us, and we're to have our being in him and live life through him. Be purposed to do it every day. So I'm going to have some ladies come up. I'm going to have Luann, Jody, Miss Jenny Wetzel, Carol, Marianne, Susan Havener, Leah, and Tia. Tia stepped out. And here's what we're going to do just the last few minutes that we have. You guys can just take a seat wherever. If you sit in that one, you're first. So I'm going to show you how powerful this is. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to show you how powerful this is. When you find yourself in a situation and you're going through something, there is a reason why. Everybody read the Old Testament? Do we have enough chairs? Yeah, we're good. We're missing one. Oh yeah, she's coming. Do you guys remember, you've read in the Old Testament where they're walking through the wilderness? Everybody remember that story? Okay, they're going to go into the Promised Land. And what was the common theme with the Israelites? They complained and griped. Well, listen, if you've got words of thankfulness and adoration and remembrance of the goodness of God, and you're releasing those words, you're not going to find time to complain. Because you can't say them both at the same time. It doesn't work. And how many know that words are pretty powerful? They can make you feel, or they can make you feel, right? We've all had words spoken. We've all spoken words. Words are powerful. But I think one of the key things that the Israelites did not do is they did not focus on what God had provided for them and keep that in the midst of their eyes. They did not focus on the times that God came through and was faithful when they didn't have anything to eat, when their sandals didn't wear out on their feet, when they didn't have water and it came from a rock. They didn't remember. See, if they would have, okay, we're up against this right now, but guys, do you remember when we walked in these sandals for that many years and they didn't wear out? Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember the provision of the Lord in that? Instead, it was, oh, what are we going to do now? Or when, man, we're so tired of eating this. And this, they just didn't remember. They were complaining about things and didn't keep their focus on the Lord. So these ladies today are just going to share just a couple minutes or so each of a story, a testament of God's goodness in their life. And you know what we get to do? Not only when you're sitting here are you going to start to remember goodness of God in your life, and things are going to come to your mind, I pray, remembrance of how God has been faithful and good to you, but you're going to also get to rejoice with these. So we could start with, you're first. Susan.
Actually, when Heidi asked if, to do this in 5 minutes, and what came to me and what was really on my heart is that, I mean, I could share experiences, and some of them are kind of mind-blowing even, but I know what the enemy does is he'll come and say, God's never done that for me. You know, and it's just the lies that he'll bring. And so what I really wanted to project was that each one of you is so unique. And he speaks to each one of us so different because none of us have walked in the same shoes. And he gave me something in the shower this morning that I thought was really cool. He said, you know what? I'm the master designer. I have the master plan. And his plan and his design is different for each one of us. Because only I've gone through what I've gone through, and he knows what to fix and where to come in and heal it, make it new, rebuild, that type of thing. And so he does all these things for us, and because he lives in us, that's the biggest thing. Is that he's always speaking to us. He's always leading us. Last night when we were singing about the goodness of God and his faithfulness, he gave me an idea of what I was to do. And so I went home. I needed to get sleep, but I started writing. And that isn't even half of it. He's kept speaking it. Speaking things to me and showing me things that he's done. His goodness and his faithfulness, you know what? I have to admit, he's never been unfaithful to me. He's never not been good. Even in the hard times, he, in his gentle way, knew how to come and touch me and speak to me. And he is very special to me. The Holy Spirit, I am thankful for everything that he's done. And like I said, this isn't even, I've been sitting here thinking of more things. It's like, Lord, okay, that's enough now, you know. But it's just his faithfulness. So the verse comes to me that's from Philippians, you know, about thinking on these things. And I think in the hard times, if we just remember his goodness and his faithfulness always, that as we face these things, he's going to see us through. And we're going to have another story. And how cool, even for, is it Lydia? Is that, huh? Linda? Okay, what's so cool? There is a special thing that he did again, just a treasure. You know, that here it's your birthstone. I mean, he does these things all the time, you know. So anyway, that's what I had.
Right, God is good. He's so faithful. I was Susan, oh my goodness. It's good to think of the things that God has brought you through. It's good to just sit and meditate and ponder. And I was trying to decide what to speak on, praying about it, seeing what the Lord had, but my goodness, he has saved me. He has healed my body more times than one. He has restored my marriage. He has done everything. He is so faithful. He is so good. But the one thing I guess I wanted to share was, healings. We can't let things fester. I, for years, probably 2 or 3 years, headache every day, foggy. I couldn't think, focus, nothing. It was hard. And then finally, one day, I'd had enough. But he doesn't want us to wait that long to do that, so we can learn, we can look back at these things and grow from them. Finally, it was just, the Lord said, you have a voice, use it. So we are to speak his word. We are to whatever we're going through, the answer is in the Word of God. We just have to find the scripture that he's leading us for, and that is our victory. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Sometimes it does. That absolutely happens. But a lot of times it's a process, and we have to keep standing and keep focusing and keep, we have to grasp onto that word. We have to praise him and thank him every single day for our victory, because it is there, because he never fails. He will never leave us. He's always there. He's just, he's waiting for us to just ask him, because he's right there and he has all the answers and he will bring us through every single time. So anyways, I'd walked for years just in this cloud of fogginess, and I started speaking the word. I started speaking healing over my body. I started praising him every day. I fell in love with praise, because not only does it do things in your spirit, oh, it carries on to your physical body and your mind and your emotions and everything just come along with it. And he has your answers. We just have to be quiet and listen. He will give you the scripture. And Heidi's scripture may be different. Even if it's healing for healing, Heidi's scripture that she's going to stand on is going to be different from the scripture that I stand on, because it is his word to us. It's special. We have to take that time and just listen. We have to quiet ourselves and just listen to him, and he leads us through every single time. So praise God. No more headaches, no more fogginess. So that's it.
Well, so I feel like this whole weekend, from the songs that we've sang to the messages, has just been, I mean, a confirmation of who God is for me. I had a journey that started 7 or 8 months ago in my life that has probably been one of the hardest journeys ever, but God has, he's remained faithful to me. He gave me a word one day, and I'm not going to go into the details of what I've walked through, not today anyways, maybe someday, but and he gave me this word. It's out of Isaiah 43:19. It says, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. It will spring forth. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give the ultimate peace and prosperity, declares the Lord of hosts. And I have experienced that. I have experienced such grace from God and mercy from God, and just peace when I probably shouldn't feel peace, and strength when I probably shouldn't have strength. And there's such a refreshing in knowing that God has your back. There's a scripture, I think it's in Samuel, where it says, for I have surrounded you with strength for the battle. And God really does. He surrounds you with strength for the battle. And so I know that there's other women who are probably going to walk through the same thing that I have, and I just want to encourage you that God has your back. He definitely has your back, and he is your strength. So
I'm so glad that I'm not the only ball baby. April was a really big month at our house, in our family, in that my husband and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Our kids threw a surprise party, and it was great fun. And at the end of that celebration, our granddaughter walked up to me and she said, Grandma, how did you do it? How did you do it for 50 years? And I said, but God, only God. She said, Grandpa said the same thing. And, you know, as I reflected back on those 50 years, it's, you know, season after season, year after year, hard things, heartbreaking things, pain, life-threatening things. But every step of the way, God's goodness, God's grace, God's love, God's faithfulness, even when we weren't faithful, he was there. And there was another big event in April that involved our grandson. And I called him yesterday and I said, are you all right with me sharing this? He said, sure, Grandma. go ahead. But his journey began probably about 12 years ago when his parents got a divorce. He was in middle school. And as he got into high school, he really was struggling. His father was not in the picture at all for him. His sister had made a decision to go live with the father. And so his family was torn apart. And he went through a stage of real rebellion. And at one point, his mother called us and said, "Can you come be with me? I need to talk to him. I need to set some boundaries for him." So we went to the house and confronted him. And the whole time we were there, he was just cursing at me and my husband and cursing our faith. How could you believe this? Just, you know, God isn't real. And it just destroyed our hearts. And it wasn't long until he was gone. And we didn't know where he was. We knew what he was doing wasn't what the Lord would have him to do. We knew that he was in trouble desperately. But there was no contact. And every once in a while, I would just call his phone, knowing darn well he wasn't going to answer, not going to respond. And I'd say, "Peanut, love ya. I miss ya. I'm praying for ya. Say." And I just hang up, and I never heard back. He never called. And probably about a year later, he came to his mom and said, "Can I come home? I want to come home." And she said, "Sure, but here's the rules. Here's the boundaries. You break them, that's your choice. You're out of here." And he did really well for a while. And then there came a day that our daughter called and said, "Can you come meet with us again?" So this time we went to a restaurant, you know, because you don't make as big a scene in a restaurant. And not knowing, you know, what we were going to say, we knew that our daughter had made a decision that he had to leave again. She had since remarried and had small children in the house. And he knew the rules, and he was breaking them. And so we came to that meeting and just had some, you know, conversation. And all of a sudden he said, "Well, you guys can quit worrying about me. I'm joining the Navy. I'm out of here." We thought, glory to God. He has to be clean to, you know, get into the Navy. He's got to clean up his act. And so he did do that. He joined the Navy. And when my husband took him to Butte for his induction, before he left, I said, "Dale, I've really been praying about this. And I think that you should pray the Aaronic blessing over him." And so Dale did when he got to Butte, and when they were parting, and then Dale laid hands on him and, you know, just prayed, "The Lord bless you and keep you," from Deuteronomy. And then the next 5 years, he was gone, and we would see him occasionally when he was home on leave. We talked to him on the phone. The relationship became restored. And every time we'd get off the phone, I'd pray this blessing over him. Dale would pray the blessing over him. When he was home on leave, he'd leave. We'd pray the blessing over him. And now he's back. He's going to school at Rocky. And Resurrection Sunday, you guys might have been here. He was baptized. Praise God for his goodness. You know, there were so many times that I just went before the Lord and said, "Lord, your word says in Timothy that you're faithful even when we aren't." And he's not being faithful now. And in Isaiah it says, "Your word doesn't return to you void." So you're going to have to stir up the word that I know that's in him. The gospel message, he knows it. It's in him. God, stir it up in him. It's not going to come back void. I'm going to see that come to fruition in him. And the goodness of God is, we got to celebrate that with him when he got baptized here on Easter Sunday.
I just want to say one thing. Something with Heidi was talking about the word, and we've heard the statement, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." And God told me a long time ago, he says, "You've got that a little bit wrong. I want to tweak that a little bit. I said it, that settles it." you believe it. Now you believe it. And that's the way we walk in this. And my life is a life full of miracles. I wouldn't be here today. But I look out and I see miracles all around here. The faithfulness of God. You wouldn't be here today were it not the goodness of God. And I'm reminded of the scripture that where I would have despaired from Psalm 27:13. I would have despaired had I not seen, had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And that's really where my heart was. But he showed me different things. I said, God, I don't have any idea which one to zero in on. He said, well, just do this. So I just want you to get pictures as you're going along of the goodness of God. There's a deaf mute from birth, and he's healed, and he's rejoicing and saying and singing hallelujah. Has never talked and never seen. That's the goodness of God. There's a baby that you're holding and you pray over. You're speaking to that spirit so that that spirit can attach before anything else gets to it. That is the goodness of God. That's hope. That's hope. You're saying goodbye to a loved one at the last days of their life. And as you usher them out, turning them over to the Lord, there's a peace as they enter in. That's the goodness of God. You see a wayward child is what you were talking about, Mary. The goodness of God. That's salvation. All along there's joy. There's peace. There's love. There's compassion. There's all of these things. And Susan mentioned the uniqueness. Everybody has different experiences of the goodness of God. And he told me all of these are my character. And they're all encapsulated in my goodness. He said, they're all different. They're all unique. But it's the same venue. I go for the heart. That's the goodness of God.
Like the rest that you've heard, it was like, where do I begin? God has just been so faithful. But what he wanted me to share was about when I was a little girl in grade school. There was a period of time when we came home from church and we only had one TV station. We were 27 miles from town. We only had one TV station to choose from. And so you either watched that or you didn't. And a lot of times we didn't watch on Sundays. But anyway, for a period of time, we watched Oral Roberts. I just loved to watch people walking away, being healed and set free. And it just blessed my heart. And because I didn't see that anywhere where I was living. I only saw it on TV. So then we'll kind of fast forward after Rick and I received the Lord as or received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were introduced to the Benny Hinn ministry. And again, people were being set free. And I just love that. And we did a lot of lunches watching, especially me watching Benny Hinn. And just enjoying the goodness of God for these people. And I thought one day, you know, if he ever comes around here, I'd like to be in the choir and be a part. So 13 years ago this month, he came to Billings. And I thought, I'll go do it. I'll go see if I can be in the choir. And then I thought, nah, that's foolish. And then, no, I'm going to do it. So I did. Got the courage, went there, and sang in the choir. And as I was preparing to go, I didn't have an agenda. There's times when I've gone to meetings and I needed healing or something like that. But I didn't need it. I didn't need something like that. I said, God, whatever you have for me today, I want. And we're singing in the choir, and it's just a blessed time. I just want to serve you. And so, like I said, I watched Benny Hinn for a long time, and I'm not saying he didn't do this, but I never saw it before. He called all the ministers and their spouses forward for prayer. And my husband was at work, so it was just me. I thought, well, I'm a spouse, I can go down. And I went down, and Benny Hinn laid his hands on us. There was another lady that was there too. And the love of God just poured over me. And I want to thank Lindsay, because I was trying to figure out how do I explain where I was at before this happened. And spinning was what the word was. You know how you get in a vehicle and you want to go somewhere and you spin out, or you're spinning on ice and you're kind of stuck and you're rocking back and forth? That's how I felt. I felt like I was just spinning. I was in a car, I knew where to go, I knew what I wanted to do, but I just couldn't get out of that spin. And when that love came on me, it was so strong and so beautiful. And what came out was, God can use me. Nothing on the outside had changed from the moment I got in to that meeting to that time. But there was a breakthrough in the valley. There was the disturbance, the disorder that was going on. There was a breakthrough inside so that I could go ahead and get out of that spin. And it's really interesting because I described this down as, it was like waves of love. And so the first song yesterday was, as waves after waves of your love crashes over me. And that's what it was, just the love of God crashing over me. And it's the same for you. He's no respecter of persons. God's love is real. He is love, and it is, he is real. And there's another song that goes, his love is overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And I like that song, but I have a hard time with the word reckless. And I know it can be used, and don't take this wrong if you enjoy it just the way it is. But to me, it wasn't a reckless love that day. It was a purpose. It was pointed, and it was a precious love. So when we sing that song in church, I always sing precious instead of reckless, because it's just such a precious love. And I just pray that through this conference that you may know God loves you more than you've ever known before. And if you've had any doubts about his love, that's being settled in your heart, because he loves you. And I just want to leave you with a couple of scriptures. God is love. From John, 1 John 4. From Deuteronomy, and the Lord, it is he that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. And I like that, because in some translations it says it will not leave you. But he will not fail you. He will not fail you. Neither forsake you. So he's not going to leave you either. He's not going to forsake you. Fear not. Be not dismayed. And the last one from Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's here with us today. He's here with you on the road as you leave. He's here with you in your homes. He will never leave you. He is with you wherever you go.
Well, I think that there are so many good things that God's done. Same. I was like, Lord, you know, just show me what you want me to speak. And he showed me last night and throughout the morning. So I'm going to talk about something that happened 5 years ago with my son. First off, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 3. So it's kind of been a, you know, like insulin shots and all of that type of stuff. But and it's juvenile diabetes. But anyway, teenage years hit, and it became a big challenge. He was 14, 15. And it was a really big challenge where it was hard to get him to test his blood sugars and get going. And anyway, he went to church camp to help a kids camp out. I don't know. I think it was East. But anyway, he was there for 5 days, and I was really nervous because I was like, what if he doesn't test? You know, insulin is really important. It's like what's what keeps his life going, you know, but I trusted. I gave it to the Lord. And I even remember the week before he came and before he went, actually it was probably a month. I kept getting this, Noah will live and not die. Noah will live and not die. And I, you know, pled the blood of Jesus. I just really went to intercessory prayer about him. And he went to camp and I hadn't heard anything, you know, so I'm like, yes, it's going good. And he was helping like the little kids. But he had to ride a bus home, not with the church that he went with a different church. So they didn't really know the situation. And on the way home, it was a 4-hour drive home, I believe. He was thrown up and he was really sick, you know, and they're just thinking it's probably he just got the flu. They had to pull over and all this stuff. And if anyone knows about diabetes, like, that's not good. Because they can really get dehydrated and they can go into DKA, which is ketoacidosis. And once he got home, like, I picked him up. He looked horrible. He could barely make it to the car. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, complete fear came over me. And I'm getting him home, and I'm like, okay, we got to get insulin in you, because he didn't know where his insulin was because he couldn't tell me, you know, like, and he's had it since he was 3, so I know what to do to help him get better. And but I was in panic, I'm not going to lie. I was in complete panic, and as things just kept getting worse, he was yelling, he was crying, he was in so much pain, and he's like, I can't see. I mean, and I am calling 911 because we got home. I'm calling 911, and I'm praying in the spirit. I'm on the phone with the operator, you know, and I was like, hold on, I'm praying. And then she's like, ma'am, I need to talk to you. I'm like, hold on. And, you know, like, it was just like that spirit, man, just rose up in me. And the ambulance got there, they put an IV in him, and it was really hard because he was so dehydrated, you know, like they broke one of his veins. They finally got it in. We get into the ambulance. I'm on the passenger side, and I'm just praying. I love Facebook at this point because I just put a post out there. I need prayer, and I need it now, you know, and people are responding, but I'm just praying. And we get to the hospital. I'm calmed down. Like, there's the peace of God just came all over me, and I go in there. They're like, he's in, you know, he's doing all right, but he was kind of coming in and out, and I couldn't, like, I thought, oh, he's just tired, you know, but there's just complete peace. And my in-laws came in, and we were just praying for him, but they could only let 2 people in the room at the same time. Well, anyway, they finally got him stable. We had to go into ICU. That night was a little rough, but what kept coming to me was that song. It's called You Are Good, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's by Bethel, but it's I Want to Scream It Out from Every Mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. That song just kept coming to me. And I'm like, we're in the middle of a trial here. But I had to keep praising. I had to keep praising. The song, You Make Me Brave, you know, that was another song. You make me brave. Lord, he's making me brave in this situation. I am here to help and pray and be that gap for my son and whatever's going on. And that night in ICU, everything was, it was a little rough. You know, and I'm not going to lie, I cried. There was many times I cried. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have sent him and all these what ifs, you know. But God's word never fails, never fails. Noah will live and not die. That's another thing that kept coming. Noah will live and not die. And as he, the doctor came in, I don't know, it was probably like midnight, and said, we just don't get it. We got his lab results back. He should be either not with us today, or he should be unconscious. Noah's awake and talking to us. Everything on those labs were saying that he shouldn't be with us. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my goodness, you know, like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's, so when I am worshiping, that is one of my good things that happens. He is good. Like the song, the part of that song that says, in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. He saved my son. And my son, the next day, is like, God's hand was on me, Mom. You were really praying. Like, he knew that it was God, that he was alive. He knew the goodness of God. So when, like, you're worshiping and you're praising, that is what opens the door. Like, I just see sometimes my son just praising the Lord as I'm, like, I might be like, yeah, yeah, you, like, the animation. It's because he is good. He is so good. There's so many other things that he has done, but that was the one that he just wanted me to share. Like, that's just the one of many. He is good.
All this is so good, isn't it? I feel like going through and giving everybody a high five. Yeah! You know what? I was talking to the Lord this morning as I was brushing my hair. And I was flipping, I'd gotten a text and I was looking at it, and it was a picture of Zoe. And she, I don't know, some of you weren't here last night, but she was in a really bad mood. And I, when I looked at that picture, I just was like, oh my gosh, this little girl has my heart. And the Lord, just real soft, he said, that's how I feel about you. And I was like, whoa, yes. Okay. You know those things when you're like, okay, got my attention, I'm listening. I want to tell you something that the Lord has done for me. And like everybody up here and everybody in the room, we could probably talk for weeks about what God has done, and encourage one another. But this is Bible, and we're doing what the Bible said to do. Encourage one another in the Lord. So I want to encourage you guys, don't compare, because what the Lord did for them is for their life. What he's done for me is for my life. And what he's done for you and you and you is for your life. So rejoice in what he's done for you. I like to start my morning on my face, flat before the Lord. Lord, my life is yours today. Everything. Everything is yours. And I learned that because I can't get answers like, okay, how am I going to figure that out? What? How? Okay, I can do that and that. Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of time. And when you get to actually doing what you're supposed to do, it doesn't happen. You're like, oh. So this is how I start my day. It's got to be you. It's got to be you, because this is where I get my answers, because he's my best friend. He is my best friend. And until you can understand that, understand the love of God, he never, never once, there is no condemnation in Jesus. So if you know when you come before him, the very first thing he says is, gosh, I love you. Ah, you have my heart. Just like that little picture when it popped up of Zoe. Oh, this little girl's got my heart. That's what he's saying to you. You have my heart. I love you. I have, I've had cancer 4 times. And everybody's like, oh man, wow. You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, why'd it take 4 times? I've never thought of that. I don't know. Why did it take 4 times? I know that God is good. And every time that I've gotten to fight that battle, every time I've gotten to stand and say, my God is good, He will always come through for me. He will always come through for me. The Lord called me to a 40-day fast, and I like to eat. And so when the Lord said, no, I want you to do a 40-day water fast, I was like, oh, seriously? Okay, donuts tomorrow and nothing but sweets the next day. And He's like, no, today, start today. Oh, okay, Lord. So when I told everybody, I told my family, they were like, oh, it's really dangerous. I was doing a physical job. I work construction. And everybody's like, oh, it's really dangerous. I said, I know, but God told me I got to do it. Got to do it. Okay, all right. Well, day 20 comes and everybody's like, are you sure? Yeah, I know. God told me. At the, I think it was day 23. My pastor came up to me and he said, I don't know. They didn't know I was fasting. My pastor didn't. My family did. He said, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you, but the Lord gave me Isaiah 58, 4 through 13 for you. I was like, oh, awesome. And it starts out, is not this the fast that I have chosen? I was like, all right. I was thinking about eating tonight. Probably not. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the bands. Woo, I'm getting goosebumps. Of the yoke. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every enslaving yoke. Come on. So I said, okay, Lord, that's pretty awesome. And that's just the start. I can do this. And you know what? You guys, there's people in here, Pastor Heidi said it, that we don't have a clue what's going on. We don't have a clue what you fought. But God does. And you know what He says? You have my heart. You can do this. Get on your knees. Find out what I know and I know about you. Find out what I say about you. Oh, geez. Okay. But chemo does this. Yeah, I know. That's what He told me. Lord, chemo, and I got to take radiation. That hurts your heart. That weakens things in your body. It's not good. Oh, Lord, do you know? I mean, do you know what this does, Lord? Are you sure? He said, yeah, I know. He said, Jenny, I want you to find out. I want you to find out what I'm going to be for you in this trial. And I said, well, I know this scripture and this scripture. And he stopped me. He said, what am I going to be for you? I said, I don't know, Lord. What are you going to be for me? He said, ah, now you're asking the right question. Now you're asking the right question. Lord, what are you going to be for me? He said, I'm going to be your wholeness. That meant I'm already healed. I'm going to be your health. That means I don't have cancer. And I'm going to be your love. Ooh, I got it. Healed, whole, walking in love. That's my chant to this day. Because He gave me the word. And if God gave you the word, you can stand on it. You can take it to the bank. And when it comes, oh man, I really feel bad. Throwing up, losing weight, all this junk. Healed, whole, walking in love. But it doesn't look like it. That doesn't matter. What did He say? His word trumps anything. Anything. And you know what? Just like it says, it makes you fearless. Absolutely fearless. When you can stand there and look at the enemy in the eye and say, you ain't got nothing on this. I stand in God, which means I stand whole, I stand complete, and I stand firm. You know, it says, having done all to stand, you keep on standing. And I always thought, oh, I'm at the end of my rope. I can barely stand. Nope, God said keep standing. I'm going to stand. Oh, I don't know if I can. You know what that means? In the Greek, it says, having done all to stand, the battle's already won. You keep suited up for the next battle. Does that sound weak? Does it sound like you're barely making it? Does it sound like you've tied a knot and you're holding on? God, I believe. No, that's victory. Having done all to stand, you keep on standing. So I go in, and then they tell me, at the end of the 40-day fast, I felt a lump, and so I go in, and the doctor said, you know what? He said, if you hadn't, I lost 42 pounds. And he said, if you hadn't have lost the weight, he said, we wouldn't have felt the lump. And he said, this cancer is so aggressive. He said that it could be in your big toe tomorrow and there'd be nothing we could do. And I was like, yeah, we got this. You know, that's God. That's God to say, I want you to fast. Oh, Lord, but I really, really like food. And do you know how bad I feel right now? I really like salt. So I'm like, Lord, I just need some salt. I went and I had the test. I went and had the test. They do a before and after to see how your heart did, how you're doing. And my heart was stronger. My body was more fit. And it wasn't anything I'd done. I was so sick, I couldn't, like, work out or whatever, take advantage of the drugs they had me on. I knew, but God. I knew, but God. So I encourage you guys, start your day. Father, this is for your glory. This life is for your glory. You're the reason I live. You're the one I breathe for. Because you know what? If he knows about a sparrow and he counts every hair on my head, then I know that he's a good God and he takes care of me.
Man. You notice something about every single one of these? The Lord led them differently, but in a very personable way. And what happened? They were all brought to victory. They were all brought to victory. Remember the Lord, I don't know if you guys remember this last night, but the Lord said, what do you have to lose? What I believe he meant by that was, you've been trying to do it all on your own, and you haven't really gained anything. So by trying it with me, what do you have to lose? You have everything to gain with him, and nothing to lose with him. So we don't just give him a piece of us. We give him all of us. So we're going to, you ladies can sit down. Thank you. That was awesome. And it was powerful. Thank you. And I must say, you all did that with very, very awesome boldness. That's what God does for you. When you face something that's scary, you have boldness in him. And we're going to have the worship team make their way up here. And we're just going to sing a few songs. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray over you guys. And we're going to go and be victorious in our life. But as you were sitting there, I believe you... Hopefully God brought, I know he brought to your remembrance, but you were thinking about some goodness, times of goodness. Things that he's done in your life. Ways that he's been faithful. And maybe you haven't experienced a lot of God in your life because you didn't grow up with the Lord. But I'll tell you this, this is pretty good that he kept you to this time in history and waited and said, you know what? They're going to go to that woman's thing. And I'm going to show them how good I am. And then we get to say, okay, I'm going to go from this place and I'm just going to enjoy the goodness of God in my life and get to know the goodness of God more, get to know him more because he's good. Maybe that's you. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And it is our faith that overcomes the world. Not what we can do or what we can, yeah, you can start playing. Oh, I thought she wasn't back there. You were hiding. Go ahead. We can strive and try to be good and do good and all of these things, but we are only good because of God. And we can only be victorious because of God. And we can only live full life because of God. So I'm going to invite you to stand. If you don't want to stand, you can sit. And we're just going to praise him for a little bit. And this is like, just imagine this. Okay? You just went through a battle. Okay? You just battled. And you're on your parade. Okay? And your enemy, this is what you lost today. And you think of the goodness of God. And maybe if you're going through that thing right now, you praise him like you already know what it feels like to have a victory party. There are going to be things that break in your life during this time. If you lay the care at his feet and you say, God, I choose to praise you. I choose to glorify you. I choose to focus on the faithfulness, the faithful one that you are. I choose to honor you in this moment. I choose to worship you because you're good. And Lord, I look forward to just proving the goodness of God in my life every single day, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like. Make it your aim and your goal to prove how good he is. But see, God's a gentleman. He doesn't just barge into your life. But when you say, God, like Jenny was saying, I'm yours. Here's my life. I'm going to choose to worship you in the midst of a storm. Oh, and the victory is so sweet. And Father, your provision is so great, and your peace is so peaceful. And your love is so deep. He's just waiting for you to agree with what he's already got for you. He's just waiting for you to receive what he already purchased for you. So we're going to praise him for a little bit. So you just think about those good things.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.